Mr. and Mrs. Smith's garage door. You go by it every Sunday when you go to your church. And sometimes you see Mr. and Mrs. Smith standing at the side of the door, working in the yard or doing some work, and you wave at them. Hello, Mrs. Smith. Hello, hello. How are you? You know? They know that you know that they know that you're going to the church. It's Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, you've been doing it for a long time. And one Sunday morning, it just happened that Mr. and Mrs. Smith were not outside the house. But you look at the garage door and you see, man, I can smell the fire from inside the car. Something is smoking. You looked at the garage and you see the smoke coming out from down the car. And you can see the fire. The flaming is eating the garage building. And then your wife says, honey, their house is on fire. Well, don't worry, baby. Don't worry. They have an alarm system. It's going to go off any minute. But honey, let's go knock. No, honey, we're running late for the church. We can't have time to go talk to Mr. and Mrs. Smith to wake him up. And remember, they have all state insurance. You know, the fire department will come, fix the fires. They have money. They even can remodel the whole house by the money from the insurance. Don't worry about it. They'll be fine. Will you do that? Will you do that to your neighbor? That's what the church has been doing in America for the last, I don't know how many years. You go by your neighbor's house, and you know they're not Christian. They're not in any church. They're not going to go to any church. They're sitting home. I know there is Bibles in their home. I know if they just turn the TV on, they will hear the best preacher preach better, much better than your pastors. I know all the dumb excuses you can put. You're busy running late for it. But will you do that to your neighbor? Let them die without Jesus and spend eternity in hell. That's what you have been doing. I ask you last Sunday, how many want in this church, in result of somebody in this church, reach out to them and tell them about Jesus? Because someone of you open his mouth and obey God's command and reach out. And you know what? I found out later there was one person. If every church in America will lead one person to Christ a year, you are a dead country. Not just church. The country will be gone. Islam is growing here 6.5% every year. So every year they get 650,000 people coming to believe in Islam. And that's the slow rate right now. Wait until they have their four wives and what their right hand possessed. It's coming up. There will be a day in this country where a man, a married man, two homosexuals marry legally every state. And there will be a time in America where a Muslim man will have four wives and all what his right hand possessed. He will buy your children or your neighbor's children and he will to sleep with to have babies from them. That's marriage in the Quran. It's called marriage for fun. And then they will grow twice as fast or 10 times fast like rabbits. That's how Hezbollah take over Lebanon. Get more people pregnant. They have more babies. Last election, they went square. And the jihadists, the extremists, take over the country. Do you love your neighbor? If you don't love your neighbor, I don't know why even you come to church next Sunday. The Bible said, love your neighbor as yourself. You do everything. I'm not asking you to beat your neighbor on their head to bring him to church. Love your neighbor. I like my brother, friend of mine, Brother Israel. In Gulfport, not far away from you here. He tells his members in the church, you hide your ladder. You hide your hose and go to your neighbor and borrow their hose. And use the hose and take it back and take a cake with you or take a gift with you and be friend with your neighbor and truly love your neighbor. Don't be hypocrite, but love them truly. Do you know that? I know pastors have spoken in the churches. They don't know their neighbor's name. Not because they're new neighbors. They've been there for 7-10 years. And I did it on purpose. Many times I go ask a pastor, who lived downstairs in the next door to you here? Hey, I don't know, Brother Usama. Nancy! Calling his wife. Honey! Do you know what's the neighbor down there? I don't know. I think they have a kid by the name John. I don't know. I said, Brother Mark or Brother Mike, whatever name I'm going to give you now. How long have you been living in this area? Oh, we've been here for 10 years. These people just moving. Oh, no, they were here before we come here. If a pastor in the church does not know his neighbor's name for 10 years, what kind of church is this? Jihad. That's number 7, my last one for tonight. I have some other stuff to share with you. Now, jihad is even more important than any of the previous stuff we talk about. Well, some Muslim man argued with me in college in Tampa, Florida. He said, jihad is not pillar. I said, no, jihad is more important pillar than any pillar. I said, if you perform all the first 5 pillars of Islam, what is the guarantee for you to make it to heaven? He said, no guarantee. Only God knows. I said, if you die in jihad, what is the guarantee to make it to heaven? He was quiet for a minute. He said, well, we get to heaven. I said, no. How much guarantee? I don't know. I said, how about 100%? Think with me. You're going to live all your life. Say the shahada, pray 5 times a day, give money to the mosque, fast a month of Ramadan, go visit Mecca. All your life. And you cannot make it to heaven. Or one bomb commits suicide and you get to heaven. The only open door for Muslims to get to heaven is through suicide bombs, through jihad. That's the only way. The only way. And it is in the Quran, all over the Quran. And we tell the world Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. And we tell the world the Quran is a loving, peaceful book. Our leaders are telling us that. We're not fighting Islam. We're fighting extremists. We're fighting... Name it wrong, you'll never win it. Let me give you my heart or my opinion about this war. It will never be won. Iraq will never be a democracy country. Show me a Muslim country practice democracy since the existence of Islam the last 1400 years. I would love to know it. Maybe me and you can go have a visit. I will buy your ticket. And I will give you a wonderful 1 week in the best hotel in this country. I will literally pay your hotel, pay your ticket, meals on me for a whole week. Take vacation with me. As a matter of fact, how about if I take you and your wife? I give you a nice vacation. I will pay for it. Let's go and visit a Muslim country who practices democracy. What is it? Let's read some books. Never mind, they don't exist now. They used to be, not now. Show me in a book a history of a country, a Muslim country who practices democracy. Democracy and Islam do not work together. They're like water and oil. Don't mix. See, what we try to do in Iraq is beautiful. But we're not going to win it because we got even wrong country. Shia and Sunni and Kurds and who knows else there. It's a divided country. Shia does not love Sunni and Sunni does not love Kurdish and Kurdish does not. Shia does not love Shia. Sunni does not love Sunni. Nobody loves anybody. And we lost this war because we are divided here. If we are united in America as it was in the beginning, this war can be won a long time ago. At least we can fix the country, help them out and leave, and then they eat each other. Like the rest of the Muslims have been eating each other all their life. Jihad. Fighting for God. Let's listen to this. It dims the light a little bit, brother, if you don't mind.
You and I sitting here, in their interpretation, I should take out a sword, put it on your neck and say, do you accept Islam or not? And if you don't, I cut off your head. That's what a jihadist would do.
People see us as extremists because we don't compromise the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We accept it with every word and every utterance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no Muslim can turn away from one ayah of the Quran, one verse of the Quran. If we don't accept this, we actually became disbelievers.
We must prepare to die now. Run to take vengeance upon the Zionist truth.
This man is preaching, not yet, brother. This man is preaching in England. Watch the building behind him. Watch the cars. They are in London.
It's our right. Allah has given us the right to defend ourselves.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned jihad in the Quran 26 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned qital fi sabilillah 79 times. Qital fi sabilillah is fighting by a physical fighting.
Thank you. The first guy is from Saudi Arabia. And he said, what the jihadists would do? They put the sword above your head and they said, do you accept Islam or not? And if you don't accept Islam, they will chop off your head. That is what the Quran teaches. And we talk about it Sunday morning. Get the CD. Go lunch and watch. Hear it. Now the second guy here is a British man, born of a British mama and a British dad. And he says the same message. He said, we cannot compromise the religion of Allah. We cannot compromise the word of Allah, the Quran. If we do, we become disbeliever. We become infidel. Jihad mentioned in the Quran 26 times. You only have to get it from my translation, which is almost done. Pray. Pray this book will be finished so we can publish it sometime before Christmas. 26 verses in the Quran teach to perform jihad. It's a command of Allah for a Muslim to go and fight. You see it in other English translations. Struggle, strive, baloney. Struggle, my foot. 79 verses in the Quran teach qital fi sabilillah. That's a physical fight. I'm going to take you down, I'm going to cut you, snap you, and kill you. That's what it is. Physical fight. Over 350 verses in the Quran teach hate. But jihad is the greatest hate. Because you kill somebody, and you get killed, you make it to heaven on the spot. When jihad begin? Little kids. Children. That's when they start teaching about jihad. And then you get to Iran, women. You know what's so amazing? This dumb lady, and I call them dumb because they're dumb, from CBS. She went and interviewed the president of Iran. From CBS. You know what I'm talking about? What's her name? Diane, I believe.
Oh, Diane.
Yeah, whatever her name. And she went and talked to the president of Lebanon. And he said, oh, a wonderful, beautiful woman like you, a lady like you, should not talk about war and bomb and nuclear weapon. You should talk about love and romance and flower. And she smiled and said, oh, thank you, but this is just my job. I'm trying to get some information, you know, to help the American people to know. She is speaking from behind the back of our president. Try to make our brethren look stupid or look bad from the enemy. She got two guys from Syria, and they said, well, she said to them, what is the message you would like to tell the American friends, your American people? Oh, the guy said, oh, your brethren is lying at you. He's deceiving you. We are loving people. We are deceiving. Give me more. What else? What else do you want to tell my people? What else? Shame on you, woman. These are the people who will kidnap you and kill you on the spot if you're not in front of the camera and you believe their lies. Why she did not tell the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, about the Iranian women, militant Iranian women? She should tell him, Mr. President, you worry about me talking about politicians, but you have your women dressed as an army woman. They're ready to fight us and kill us. Here they are, Iranian women. Here's Pharisee words written on top of their head. Al-Jihad. Fighting for the sake of Allah. So is men in Palestine. They used to throw rock on the Israelites. We make them a city. We make them a people. We made them an army. And Hamas and Fatah, two jihadist group, they're both bad. Now they have the weapon. And they use our weapon to kill the Jew. We're blessed in this country for one reason and one reason only. Because we're blessing the Jew. The Bible said, I bless those who bless you. And believe me, there is nothing in America deserves to have this day today. Even Christians in America, sometimes they make my stomach sick. We're not blessed because we're a godly nation. We're not. We're not a godly nation. We're a wicked country. And the only reason we're blessed is because of Israel. And the day we back off from Israel, you kiss America goodbye. It will take one hurricane season, sisters and brothers. One hurricane, one tornado after one tornado, one flood, one burn of fire, and you kiss America goodbye. What is holding us is the American dollar. And when the economy goes down, you kiss this country goodbye. How many jihadists do we have in America? They worry about the border. I mean, every time I hear our leaders, our senator speaking, they make me sick in my stomach. Oh, Bush, you're wrong. If you have got Osama bin Laden, we'll not be in this mess today. You know how dumb this is? This is stupid. This is foolish. By the way, the word foolish is a biblical word. Paul said, oh, you foolish Galatians. So I can't say foolish. And foolish is the same word than stupid in the dictionary. So I'm not speaking bad words here. I'm using biblical words. It is foolish. You know how many baby is born by the name Osama bin Laden since September 11? Hundreds of thousands of women got pregnant specifically to have a baby boy and they name him Osama. You worry about killing? If we kill Osama bin Laden 6 years ago, that end Islam? You're sick. You kill Osama bin Laden right now, there's a million men who would love to take his place. If you kill one every day, there's a billion people who would take his place. How many we have in America? They say roughly between 10 to 15%. I believe the number is higher than that. There's many jihadists came to this country on purpose for the last 50 years to take over this country. They're not here just to marry your daughter. They're here to take over this country. But let's say 10%. 10% of 10 million, that's a 1 million. You know how much 1 million can do in 5 minutes? Let's say 10% is large. How about 5%? That's only 500,000 men and women right now live in America. Don't worry about the border. That's a dumb lie. Leave the border open. There's enough here to destroy this country many times. Okay? 500,000. How much 500,000 can do in 5 minutes? These are not people that are going to use a gun to shoot you. They're going to put the dynamite around their chest to kill you. They love death than life. Let's say there's only 1%. You know what? We act like we're really foolish. There's only 1% of the Muslims in America who are right now jihadists willing to die for the sake of Allah. That's 100,000 men and women. Literally, with a one match and a gallon of gas, and they own all the gas stations in your countries. 1 gallon of gas and 1 match. They can burn America twice in 5 minutes. Only 1%. Do you see the real picture now? Yeah. There's enough jihadists in America right now, and they are your neighbor. And some of them are like this British guy, American man and woman like you. See, you never walk in the street and you can see Muslim have a sign. I am a peaceful Muslim guy. I am a jihadist Muslim. I'm American. Did you see the line, the new ad they have from CARE, this Muslim organization? They have a beautiful ad on TV. They give you 6-7 people from different parts of the American. My daddy fought in Vietnam. My daddy did that. My daddy did that. And then you, wow, wonderful group. And then at the end of the commercial, and I am a Muslim. 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 They are you. You will never figure out which one is the bad one. But they're here. Let's see what the Quran teaches about jihad.
And do not consider those who were killed for the sake of God as dead. No, they are alive with their Lord, receiving their provision.
When the jihadist died, did he die? No. Immediately with God in paradise. The first drop of the blood, the hadith says, the first blood, peace blood come out of him, wipe all this, his sin away, take the pain of the tomb away, and cause him to intercede by for 1,000 or 500 of his people. He can speak by the behalf of 500 people. That's why when a jihadist dies, his family best candy. They're celebrating his death because they think he's now speaking by their behalf before God. Okay? And enter him to paradise to meet with his beautiful virgins. And the number go, the smallest number in the hadith is 72. It's not in the Quran. Because somebody asked Dr. Laura, Dr. Laura asked some Muslim imam, isn't it true in the Quran when a Muslim man dies, he gets 72 virgin? He said, show me in the Quran 72 virgin. She said, well, that's what we know. She said, there's nothing in the Quran about 72 virgin. And she was quiet. And that was the end of the conversation. She asked the wrong question. And he won. The Quran talk about virgins. You need to know the number, read the hadith. The smallest hadith number is 72 virgin. The largest is 700 virgin. So when they die, they receive their provision. They're alive with the Lord receiving their provision. Here we go. How we perform jihad?
Those who believed and emigrated and performed jihad for the sake of God with their money and with their lives will be of the highest grade with God. And those are the winners.
With your money, with your lives. You give somebody some money to go live in America to learn how to fly an airplane, and then he will take the airplane to your building. That's how jihad performed. money and life. Without money, they cannot come here. Money, do you know that people in Iraq don't have money to buy a sandwich? They're hungry there. But they explode a bomb worth thousands of dollars, and hundreds and thousands of dollars. Somebody sends the money. Saudi, our friend, who claimed our friend, are sending the money to kill our soldiers in Iraq. And they're really our friends. The rest of the verse, 21 says,
their Lord gives them good news of mercy from Himself and of His good pleasure, and of gardens in which lasting pleasure will be theirs.
Here is the garden we're talking about of Muhammad. You want one more verse?
And those who were killed for the sake of God, He will not let their works go astray. He will guide them and reform their condition. And He will admit them into the garden, of which He made known to them.
You die in jihad, you get to the garden, one step like that. Here we go. That's how important is the pillar of jihad. Do you know that in America, in our land, right now, they're teaching their children, the Muslim children, jihad? And we caught so many of them. And the media does not talk about it. They go on Fox 1 minute. And then an order, I can imagine it, an order from the President of the United States. Shut up this program. Don't talk about it anymore. Close it. And you never hear anything about it anymore. They capture many schools in America. They're teaching their kids jihad. And our government and our media says, shh, don't talk about it. Why don't we talk about it? Keep the American dumb. Keep them quiet. Don't tell them anything because we maybe have a problem. We don't want to defend the Muslim people. We're going to hurt their feelings. And there's enough lawyer in the SLU to shut me off. Because I'm the only one who's talking about that. You know the new laws are going to pass? I'll be talking about it tomorrow in some group. This law, if they pass, the first time I speak in a church like that, the first time I get caught, the speech hate law, the first time I get caught, I'll spend 10 years in prison. I will be illegal soon in this country, as it is in Europe and Canada. It is illegal to speak against Islam because of this law. 24 senators in the Democrat Party, by the leadership of Obama and Hillary, they are leading this bill. They want to pass this bill. And they call it hate speech. I mean, who would like anybody to talk about hate speech? Shut up, you Osama Dakdok, the Straight Word Grace Ministry. Shut up, Rush Limbaugh, because he's speaking against Democrats. Shut up these people, and then we'll be fine. You know what? You shut me up, you're going to lose your life. Literally. You may be put in prison, but you're going to end pain with your grandchildren's blood. What do you choose? What do you choose? Listen to Rush Limbaugh's brother, David Limbaugh. His Christian brother in Missouri.
The war against Islamofascism is not a war for the hearts and minds of the terrorists. They cannot be persuaded or appeased. Their principal beef with us is not our support of Israel or even our counter-aggression against them. The problem inheres in our infidelity. Short of wholesale national conversion to radical Islam, we can probably expect a decades-long war.
It is until the end of life on earth war. You are an infidel. The Quran teaches to kill the infidel. It is not about supporting Israel. Let me prove it to you. Do you know that Indian people are poor, uneducated, don't have jobs? Nobody commits suicide bomb in India. So all the excuses they give for why these people commit suicide, why? Because they're poor, don't have job, blah, blah, blah. That has been proven wrong just recently with the 6 doctors of England. Okay? Now, but Pakistani Muslim go to India and explode himself and bomb himself and kill the poor Indian because they are infidel. I can take right now, if I can't put the planet of Earth map on this board right now, and I'll point you to every country where is Muslim, there is bomb. There is problem all over the map. Have not happened in America yet. September 11 is nothing. Hear me again. September 11 is nothing. When they do the real attack. That was like, what, 4 aeroplanes? That's nothing. 16 guys? Think with me of 100,000 people. One time in afternoon after prayer. Friday prayer, afternoon. 100,000 men and women go and do a big attack. You kiss the United States goodbye a long time ago. That's only 1%, 100,000 men and women. We're not going to go for the million. Here is the verse in the Quran. The Quran says,
and fight them until there will not be any disputes and the religion will be completely to God.
He's talking about the jihad, the fight here of the jihad. You fight the people until Islam take over the country. That's what the verse says. Question.
Some enemies of the religion claim that Islam was spread by the sword. What is your response to that?
Islam was spread by proof and evidence, in the case of those who listened to the message and responded to it. And it was spread by strength and the sword in the case of those who stubbornly resisted, until they had no choice and had to submit to the new reality.
What is proof? I would love to see the proof of Muhammad. This! If we have time in the future, I'll come and tell you what's in this book. Or maybe before that, I'll send you a box of my Quran and you guys read it. There's no proof here. It is in one other word, Islam spread by the sword. That's it. Islam spread by the sword. Not only Islam spread by the sword, Islam exists today in the world by the sword. Do you know how many people, when they become a Christian in Muslim country, what happened to them? Literally, they wipe them out. They kill them. They rape them in our jails. I have two stories here in my computer I'll show it to you. Two Egyptian people. The lady runs to the office, the police station office, because her family were abusing her, were physically going to kill her. The men in the police station are raping her and give her back to her family. After they slept with her. Here's our police in Egypt. Very modern country. You become a Christian, you run to the police, they rape you and then give you back to your family. Here's the law in Morocco. Listen how Morocco law is written.
If a Muslim says, I have embraced another religion instead of Islam, before he is called to repentance, he will be brought before a group of medical specialists so that they can examine him to see if he is still in his right mind. After he has then been called to repentance, but decides to hold fast to the testimony of another religion not coming from Allah, that is, not Islam, he will be judged.
And what is the judgment in Morocco? What is the judgment in Iran? What is the judgment in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Palestine, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in Bahrain, in Oman, in Indonesia, in all and every Muslim country who practices Islamic law? You know what is the judgment? Here it is. Let's read it in the Hadith. Let's see what Muhammad said. Muhammad said,
Allah's Messenger said, the blood of a Muslim cannot be shed except in three cases, for murder, adultery, and the one who reverts from Islam and leaves the Muslims.
Your blood must be shed if you left Islam. Not only Islam is spread by the sword, and we proved this Sunday morning, it also exists today by the sword. How loving, peaceful Islam is. Here's one verse in the Quran. Teach how peaceful are the Muslims.
So, do not be weak, and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. And God is with you, and He will not decrease your work.
Chapter 47, verse 35, that's the book of Muhammad. Muhammad told them, as long as you're not the upper hand, you'll be peaceful. And here is the verse I want to share with this gentleman on the radio station yesterday. That they are here peaceful, they're not the upper hand yet. There are small people here. There are only 10 million. Wait until they become 30 or 40. And then you don't have any more peace with them. They are so peaceful in England. They were so peaceful in England until 10 years ago. Until 5 years ago. Now they're no longer peaceful. As a matter of fact, they tell them the British. The law, the Sharia law is going to be practiced in this country. And if you don't like it, you can leave. Can you imagine this happened in America? They're going to tell you, we're going to practice Sharia law, Islamic law in this country. Which means, you become Muslim, we're going to cut your head. If you don't like it, leave. Where are you going to go? The only part in the world today, and if this part taken down, Islam take over the world, is the United States of America. We are the only power who can stop them. We can back them up to where they belong, like the French and the Spanish did in Europe in the 7th century. But you know what? We are making them our leaders. We are accommodating them everywhere they will go. We have a mosque right now inside Kansas Airport. Because there's some drivers, Muslim drivers, they need a mosque to pray. We're putting a mosque in every school. Because if there's a Muslim in the school, he must have a clean place. Not the church place now. The church place is an unclean place. They have to have their own room, a clean room. We are accommodating them in our prisons. We're making them our senator and our congressman. They are the one who's going to write the law for your children and your grandchildren. When America wake up, I don't know. Do you think it's an important message to learn about what is Muslim? Who are the Muslims? Islam versus Christianity, in one word, Islam is the religion which God requires you to send your sons and daughter to die for Him. That's what it is. You help God, God will help you, the Quran says. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a faith in which God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. The answer is not the war in Iraq. The answer is Jesus. And if Christians in America know Jesus right, they will do anything and everything to share His love with everybody, including the Muslim. We have 650,000 Muslims in America, students. They're here not to have a degree from your college. They're here because they're missionary. There's more Muslim missionary in our college today to take over the next generation to Islam than we ever send missionaries to the world. And all go back to why? Because Christians are not living right in this country. There are so many people who were willing to go overseas, but because there was no money, they never went. We have hundreds and thousands of missionaries are here. They're not going anywhere because they don't have money to send them overseas. And the sad thing is the church becomes so cold that we're dying. We're not sharing the love of Christ with our neighbor. Do you think we're going to go knock at Muhammad's door next town, next part of the town? If you don't love the people in your own family, your family members, to tell them about Jesus, are you going to care about some Muslim people building a mosque, small mosque somewhere in your town? It's all wrong because the church are not on fire with the Lord or for the Lord. He commanded us the Great Commission, Great Command. It's one order, yes sir or no sir. And all this country are saying no sir. Including your church are saying no sir. And His Great Commission is in Matthew 28:19 when He said, go make disciples. And we choose not even to go to worship Him in the church. 20% of Americans go to church on Sunday morning. What happens to the rest? They're resting, relaxing. They were drinking all Saturday night. They don't have time. Their head is heavy. The wine and alcohol got them. And the game got them on Sunday. You see, there's only 4 hours in the day on Sunday to watch the football game. And if there's two of them, there's 8 hours. Who have time to go sit in the church for a whole hour? No, I went to attend this game last time in a stadium here in the Red Bird in Missouri. What do you call them? Cardinals. They have a Christian family day. And I'm going to end with this story. I'm finished. I know I passed 9 o'clock. You came late too. Okay? You're supposed to be here at 7. Some of you show up in 10-15 minutes after 7. And I saw this baseball team. They are playing this baseball. And I only attend 2 games in my life. One in Colombia for just a few minutes. I was a kid, 15 years ago. And I went to watch some kids playing. They were like school kids. And this is the real game. And I've never been in a stadium like this with this Red Bird or Cardinals team. And I saw the stadium. And every time you see the excitement inside the stadium, I can imagine Jesus is crying. Every time this player swings on the ball, and just to call his name, and ta-da, charge, charge, and Jesus cries. And then when he gets on the bat, and he swings on this ball with his hand holding this bat, and he swings so hard, and the ball flies, and the whole stadium clapping, so excited, woo-hoo, he hit the ball, and he runs to the first base. And then the excitement starts, people moving, starts raising. And then second guy, second base is full. And the third guy, the whole base is full. And the stadium are on fire. And they do the waves. I could not understand these waves until I saw it in this game. It goes in circles. 55, 60,000 people stand up and do the waves. One time, two time. And then the third player, the fourth player came and he's holding this bat with his hand and he's about to swing. And you can hear the silence. And he hit the ball. And it was a home run. Four runs. And the stadium was on fire. And Jesus cried. You know why Jesus cried? Because in the church, we didn't even bother to clap soft hand for Jesus. You go to some church and somebody clap hands, you look at them like they're nuts. Jesus cried when dumb, with all respect, some men holding a dumb bat and swinging it and hit the ball and the whole stadium, 55, 6,000 people, and they jump off the chair. And for Jesus, if two people clap hands in the church, wow, there's so much excited about Jesus. Who is more important, a bat in the hand or a nail on the hand on the cross? Amen. You don't clap your hand for Jesus. It's just because you don't belong to Him. He shed His blood to save us from our sins. And we're excited about dumb baseball game or not excited about worshiping Him. God Almighty. You can't love Muslim people if you don't have the love of Christ in your heart. First, you have to love Jesus. And then you learn how to love the Muslim. Yes. And then you know how to love your neighbor. And then you know how to love even your family member who are not, they don't know Christ. And if you're truly bought by His blood, He commands us to go and make disciples. It's an order. We know in America how to sing some of this. I call them ridiculous songs, and some of you maybe like them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I bet you're singing this song in this church, don't you? Have you ever walked, yes, Lord, in your life when He commanded you to make disciples? Who you're cheating? Who you're making fun of? For Jesus or yourself? You don't love Jesus. You don't know what is yes, Lord. You don't love your neighbor. You don't love Jesus. You don't know what is yes, Lord. You don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others to fulfill His command. You don't know yes, Lord. You don't know Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm not even worthy to stand here before your people to tell them about you. Because I'm not right there either. There are many opportunities you have given me to share your love with lost people, and I choose not to. Because it was not in my convenience. Because I did not feel like. Because of my sin. Because I was not completely right with you. But I pray, God, you speak through your Holy Spirit to your people here tonight. That not even one person will leave this building unless he and she have a relationship with you. If you never pray and ask Jesus into your heart, why do you wait? Do you want Him to die again for you? Do you want Him to shed His blood on a cross one more time for you? He loved you enough that He paid for your sin on that cross. Are you willing to say yes to Jesus tonight? It's not about some church name, New Beginning, Baptist, Catholic, whatever name your church you go to, it is about Jesus. That so many people, membership in churches, have nothing to do with Jesus. Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Do you remember the time when you gave your heart to Jesus? And you said, yes, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be your child, but you choose to love me anyway. I don't deserve one drop of your blood, but you shed all your blood for me anyway. You pay for my sin, Lord Jesus, to set me free. Will you forgive me? I accept the gift of eternal life, which you gave on that cross for me. Do you remember when you pray and ask Jesus into your heart? If you never prayed and asked Jesus into your heart, why not tonight? I know it's after 9 o'clock. But so big deal. Just pray where you're at. There is no special prayer with a special word to say. The shortest prayer and is the only prayer will God listen and hear tonight is, have mercy on me, Lord. I am a sinner. If you pray this deeply and sincerely, you mean it in your heart. You are a born-again Christian. Just say, have mercy on me, Lord. I am a sinner. Father God, we talk about so many things here tonight. But I pray that you continue work in your people's heart, that you lead them to do the right things, to truly worship you through their prayer, through their giving, through their witnessing, through their reading to your word, through their fasting, sharing your gospel, the good news of Jesus with others. Continue work in our heart, Lord Jesus, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father God, we're about to leave this place. But from your loving face and your wonderful grace, may we never, never leave. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.